The text is the epistle reading from Romans 13. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over, the day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Here ends the text. When marching troops over a bridge, it's mandatory to take them out of step with each other by giving the command, "Rout step, march." This is so resonance doesn't build up from the pattern of the footfalls and cause the bridge to collapse. My goal this Advent is to get you out of step with the world's holiday that began with Thanksgiving and ends Christmas Day. The real season, not the holiday season, the real season has been revealed to you, St. Paul says. He says, literally, you forever know by revelation from God the season. And the season your Lord has revealed to you is not ho, ho, ho. The season isn't food, fun, family. The season in here isn't one of nostalgia. It's not one of goodwill among men. It's not one of celebrating. No, in here, it's time to wake up, sleepyhead season. You've been in bed with the world long enough. You stay in bed with her and you'll be swept away with her. I'm thinking of that 1959 song, "Wake Up, Little Susie." The teenagers had said they'd be home by 10, but the movie wasn't hot. It didn't have much of a plot. They fell asleep and didn't wake up till 4 a.m. Now their reputation is shot. We have a lot more to lose than your reputation. So awake, awake, this watchman cries. You've been lulled to sleep by the world around you. It may be by the dulling sameness of day-to-day life in this world. Or with the disciples of Gethsemane, it may be sorrow that has caused you to sleep. Then again, it could be you're like the disciples at the Transfiguration. You've been put to sleep by spiritual things. Whatever the case, the hour has come now. You sleepwalk out of here, and it's more dangerous than falling asleep in a moving car. Why? Because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. Paul pictures the brief time before sunrise when it's both night and day. Asleep in a car, you can be hurtling towards another car. You can be hurtling towards a ditch. You can be hurtling towards a tree. Sleepwalk out of here and you're hurtling towards judgment. Because where salvation is, there is also judgment. Do you see how close they were at Calvary? Do you see how close they are in the gospel reading? Two people in one place. One is saved, the other is lost. God has revealed to you the season, the hour, and the day. It's time to break ranks with the world marching to destruction all around you. A world that scoffs at the very concept of God, let alone a God who returns to judge the living and the dead. It's time to break step with the Dame Reason of Proverbs, whose steps, says Solomon, lead you straight to hell and are anchored there. It's time to break step now and wake up, or wake up screaming when you find that you've been in bed so long with the world you are married to the triple-headed monster of sin, death, and devil. The military has a uniform for every formation, every function, every event, and the soldier doesn't choose it. He's told what to wear. What should we wear as we walk into the daylight? Well, before you put something on, you almost always have to take something off. Two things. Notice that Paul speaks of we, all of us. And he is speaking in the subjunctive, not in the imperative. He speaks of what we should do. Subjunctives tell you what the speaker dearly wants done, But they don't rise to the level of the imperative. They aren't a must. Paul uses three first-person plural subjunctives. That includes himself here. We should put off the works of darkness. You can't be dressed in the works of darkness and enter into the realm of light. The works of darkness Paul warns of are three: orgies, sexual immorality, and dissension. The word paired with each is the basic sin that gets the thing going. Here our translation is not good in one aspect. The root sins are drunkenness, jealousy, and not debauchery, but sensuality. Sensuality is finding your treasure, your pleasure, or your joy in the realm of this world. You can dress that way in the world, and even more so in the holiday season, and you're going to be dressed for success in the world. You'll be right in step with the world, but you're going to be out of step with the world without end. You're not going anywhere dressed like that. If you haven't said that to a teenager, you will. Some clothes are not fitting for certain situations. Works of darkness are not fitting for our season, this hour of judgment, this day of salvation. And you know that, but neither is nakedness. So we should put something on. Paul says we should put on the armor of light. The works of darkness were all ours. We must own them because we do own them. They are our dirt, our stain, our shame. But where do we get the armor of light? Where do we get anything but darkness? From God the Son, who walked this world crying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life." The light we should put on is not our own. It is foreign to us. You can wake up and walk out of here doing your best. You can be putting off, at least outwardly, your drunkenness, your sensuality, your jealousy. But you don't own a suit of light to put on. Only the Lord Jesus, the light of the world, does. The last thing Paul tells us we should do is not behave decently. That's mixing a metaphor when Paul doesn't. Oh, he has the word walk, and that's where the insert gets behave. But coupled with the word decently, you think the issue is behavior. No, Paul is building to something radical here. He's still in the realm of clothing. He says we should walk as one properly attired. That Greek word has to do with clothing. When I grew up, I had school clothes, I had play clothes, and church clothes. If I did play things in school clothes, or worse, in church clothes, I was in trouble. There's only certain clothing proper for the season of salvation, the day of judgment. Why is that so hard for you to understand? You know it in the world. You know that you don't wear Halloween colors to a Christmas party. You know you don't wear shorts to a formal. You don't wear formal wear for sports. And yet you think there is no proper attire for that day that is almost here. There is, and it isn't in your closet. See what I did? See how I switched from us to you? From we to you? From including myself to only speaking of you? I did that because that's what Paul does in the text. He says literally in that last verse, rather than being clothed in the works of darkness, you must put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the provisions of the flesh, you must not continue to make into lust. This is what must happen if you're going to walk out of here awake and properly attired to meet the day of judgment / salvation. Earlier, Paul said what we should do. We should put off works of darkness, and we should put on the armor of light. These two shoulds were not to lead you to conclude what you could do, but what you can't do. And then Paul, in the last sentence, gets you to what's really imperative. But hear them all the way through. Yes, you must put on the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no way you're going to survive that day. There's no way you're going to meet that day without being clothed in His holiness and righteousness. Have you ever put on a garment you thought was clean and then found just a spot after you wore it on the back shoulder or worse, on the seat? Well, you have nothing to put on that is not stained somewhere. Your good intentions, your sincere desires, your very best works are stained, soiled, spotted. Wake up today and put those on, and you walk into a daylight of judgment. And there's no way you're going to wake up at all today or any other day on your own. You're going to sleep till the last trumpet blasts you awake if you continue to make provisions for the lust of the flesh. You must stop that today. You must repent today. Notice Paul doesn't say you must not have the lust of the flesh. Luther said that you could avoid lust as little as you could stop the birds of the air from flying over your head. Paul does not say you must stop lusting, but you must stop making provisions to satisfy those lusts. You don't stop that, and you're forging thicker and heavier Jacob Marley-like chains. However, you can no more stop making provisions for your lust than you can wake yourself up, decide to put on Christ, or get out of step with the world. This is where the radical good news is. The good news is that this imperative command is based on a statement that indicates what God in Christ has first done for you. In Galatians 3:27, Paul promises, as many as you who have been baptized into Christ, Christ you have put on. Been baptized is passive. You don't baptize yourself. It happens to you. And Christ you have put on, well, that's a promise. That's not a command. Baptized into Christ's holy life and innocent death, your sinful flesh has been put to death, and you've been risen in a new life, clothed in Christ's holiness. You don't belong any longer in the lockstep formation of the world that is marching to certain judgment and hell. Christ Jesus took on human flesh and blood in the virgin's womb to come rescue you from this present darkness. He took all of the laws of God that had you hemmed in, exposing your sins every which way you turn, and He kept all those laws in your place. And He took all the heavy debt that you owed for your sins, and He paid it completely off, one bloody drop at a time on the cross. Then He delivered you to what He had done for you on the cross in your baptism. All the kept laws, all the paid off debt was given to you in your baptism, where Christ was first put on you. Can't you see? You don't belong in the formation marching towards doom. Can't you see the baptized are out of step with what the world thinks important, valuable, or even needed? Can't you see that Christ went to the cross to redeem you for better things than these? Can't you see that the world's holiday at best can make you forget the pain and your stains? But along with forgetting that, you forget the fact that this night of fallenness and sadness is nearly over, and a day of salvation all but dawned. A mother's watching her first military parade. As her son's platoon passes the reviewing stand, she says, "Oh, look, my son is the only one in step." May that be us in this world, this Advent. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.